Amen. Mighty good singing today. And I hope he is your Lord. I hope he's your Lord. If he's not, he will be, because he is Lord. All you got to do is put him there. He's already Lord. Amen. Unusual thought on my heart today. Ask your prayers. This is a position I've never got used to. I've been here a few times, but I've never gotten used to it. And I'm not any more comfortable than I was the first time I stood. There's something about the Word of God and God's place and God's position that makes you feel a little uneasy, because life is important. And we hold in our hands the message of life. We hold that in our hands. And it's very important that we deliver what God wants us to deliver. And Sunday night, if you were here Sunday night when the pastor announced that he must be away today because Dee had an appointment in Montgomery and he had to drive her down, and he asked if I could fill this position immediately, the burden fell on me. And every preacher's got to know that. Brother Howard, when that position falls into your lap, there's a burden falls on you. And immediately I knew that I was to preach. This thought come on my heart. And we've been talking about sin in our Sunday school lesson this morning, confessing our sins. And I want to read a couple of verses found in James chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to James chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses here. Verse 14, 15, and 16. James chapter 1, verses 14, verse 15, and verse 16. I want to point out a few things there, and I want to bring you the thought that the Lord has laid on our heart. He said in James 1:14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished," listen to that. "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." In verse number 15, he says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Here is God's LSD: lust, sin, death. When sin is finally finished, it bringeth forth death. The Bible said in Romans 6 and verse 23, "The wages, the payday for sin is death." The wages of sin is death. My message begins when I had the privilege of pastoring my first church, and it was 1972, a lady came to me, and she said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for my brother. My brother finished with high honors in high school. His grades were so good that he was able to get into the University of Alabama on a scholarship. He went to the University of Alabama and finished with a business degree. He got out and got him a good job in Gadsden in a big insurance corporation, making good money. This was 1972. In that year, I went to the Baptist State Convention, and I heard Brother Jerry Vines preach a sermon. And that sermon was a thought that all of us have heard the thought many times. And the thought was that sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you meant to pay. That sermon was Jerry Vines' trademark for years. Everywhere he went, they wanted to preach that sermon. Every preacher and every pastor just about has used those lines in their sermons over the years. But I want to preach on that thought this morning, because in my life I was able to see that lived out. And it started out in 1972 when this lady asked me to pray for her brother. For her brother, who was doing well. He had finished college, had a fine job, everything was going well. He had a fine family. But why she wanted me to pray for him is because his job had demanded that he come to some of their socials. And they was just doing a little social drinking. You've heard about that, haven't you? Just a little social drink with the boys. We're just having a little social drink. He was a good man. He was doing well. He had a fine brick home up on Nakalula Falls in Gadsden. He had two brand new cars sitting in the yard. He had a fine wife and had two daughters, teenage daughters, doing well. But he started out just with a little social drink with the company, with the boys. Before long, the social drinking led him. He's drawn away, led him to gambling. They started doing a little light gambling. Oh, I know, we've got to the point that gambling don't mean anything, and we're having people driving everywhere buying these tickets and gambling, and you think it's all right, but don't you ever think it's all right. It is a sin, and it is a web that will draw you into it. It will draw you into it, and it'll catch you, and it'll capture you. I've been preaching for a long time, and Brother Howard, I've never met the drunk that said, "I can't handle my drinking." He said, "I can take it or leave it." But it's a funny thing, they always took it. Amen? And the same way with gambling. Gambling, you say, "I can handle it." But it'll handle you. Don't you ever. I'm going to tell you, it takes millions of people to make one person happy in gambling. There's millions of losers, one winner. Millions of losers. And the losers are those that are enwebbed in that vice that will finally bring them down. Don't you never think that it won't. You may think, "Well, I've handled it this far." This man thought he had handled it this far too. But this gambling got to him. And before long, he was drawn away, and before long, he had gambled away everything that he had. His brick house was gone. His two cars was gone. His wife walked off and left him with his $2. And he was ruined. He stayed with that until he finally got to embezzling from the company. Got caught embezzling. I'd ask his sister, I said, can I go and visit with him? She said, he's not got time to see you. He's not got time. Over 2 years, 3 years. One day she came to me and said, he's in jail. He started out with a light drink, just drinking with the boys, drinking with the company. Started out with light gambling, just gambling a little bit along. Lost everything that he had. Then he didn't have no time for the preacher. No time for the preacher. Then one day there was a knock on my door. And this lady was standing at my door and she said, my brother is in jail. She said, they will be transferring him from Gadsden, the county jail, to Gunnersville. And he will be loading up on a bus and they're carrying him to the penitentiary. He was sentenced to 15 years for fraud in the company. 15 years. Sin will take you farther than you meant to go. He didn't mean to get that deep. Just a little social drink. Just a little gambling. Just a little here. Being drawn away. Drawn away. Drawn away. Till he lost everything that he had. Sin will cost you more than you meant to pay. Lost everything that he had. For 3 years, I'd asked to go see him. He didn't have time. But he had time to stand beside the prison bus, handcuffed. He was standing there in handcuffs. He had time for the preacher. He had time for God. He had time to listen. He had more time than he ever dreamed he would have. He had 15 years facing him as he loaded up on that bus. And I still remember today that bus driving away towards Montgomery. Loaded up with him. That's not the end of the story. Listen, sin will take you farther than you meant to go. Sin will keep you longer. He didn't mean, when he first started doing the social drinking and doing the little bit of gambling and doing the little bit of running around stuff, he didn't mean for this to get this way. But it cost him a long time, 15 years in the state prison. But the sad part about it is that's not all of the story. That's not all of the story. I went on to another church, pastored 4 years. I went on to Gadsden and pastored 10 years. I came back to Boaz, and I went to work at the funeral home, taking some time off from pastoring. Didn't have a church at that time. And I was taking the time off and I was working at the Carr Funeral Home. Listen to this story. Listen. I hadn't seen this man. I hadn't heard from this man in about 15 years. He was in prison. Working at the funeral home in Boaz. One day we got a call. We got a call from the funeral home. From a funeral home in Georgia. And they said that we're sending a body to Birmingham Airport. And the family's requested that you pick him up and bring him to Boaz. And the manager of the funeral home handed me the request to go to Birmingham and pick up a body in Birmingham. I picked up that request and I looked at it. And I hadn't seen that name in years. And I looked at it. And I said, I know this man. This man had got out of the prison house. He had served his 15 years in the state prison. And he come out and he went to Georgia. Sin will take you farther than you meant to go. Sin will cost you more than you meant to pay. That man had went to Georgia and died alone in a trailer. They found him after several days. He'd been dead for several days in a trailer. Died alone. They shipped him back to Birmingham. And this preacher that he didn't have time 15 years ago to talk to. This preacher that he didn't have time 15 years ago to talk to. Drove a hearse to Birmingham, a pickup wagon, and picked him up at the airport. After 15 years, sin, my dear friend, will take you long, take you farther than you ever meant to go.
Yeah.
Sin will cost you more than you ever meant to pay.
Right.
Sin will keep you longer than you ever meant to stay.
Yes.
Here's a man that had everything, but he lost it all and died alone. Sin is a robber. Sin is a murderer. Sin will drag you down. Sin will kill you. The wages of sin, the Bible said, is death. But I'm so glad this morning that that's not all of that verse. There's a conjunctive word there that ties that together. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah this morning. We've got a hope that lies beyond this veil. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord this morning. We've got hope in Him. Whosoever, Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord. My, shall be saved. There's not a possibility of them being lost, but they shall be saved. Whosoever. I'm glad that me and you are one of them, aren't you? I'm glad that we fit in that group of the whosoever's. And if we'll just call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, the awful wages of sin, but the wondrous gift. Never forget the look on that sister's face that morning that she walked into the funeral home and took my hand. And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, it could have been a lot different. It could have been a lot different. It could have been a lot different. And it could be a lot different in all of our lives if we would just walk with the Lord. And if we would just listen to Him." We're on a journey. Where is your journey carrying you this morning? How is your life progressing? How is it coming along with you? How's things going? We'll stop. Every wise business stops at the end of the year. They take inventory. And they look and see if they're progressing properly. If they're going along, if their business has been a success. And if it's not, they'll do some drastic changes to make sure that that same thing that happened last year don't happen the next year, so that they will progress and they'll go on farther. But I wonder how many of us stop. How long has it been since you stopped and looked at your life and see, how am I doing? How's it coming along?
What is it in my life that I could leave off? What is it that I could change that would make things better? What could I do to make things better? I'm thinking the way that it's looking and the way that I'm able to evaluate church life and our walk with the Lord, it don't look like it's doing too good. Amen? It don't look like it's doing too good. I can remember when this house was full of people. Full. Where are they all at? Where are they all at? Where's everybody at? Brother Greg got up here the other Sunday and encouraging people and asking people to take note of your lives and maybe get more involved in church. I wonder how long has it been since we read the covenant?
Yeah.
We're a covenant people.
Right.
Amen. We're bound with covenant. I'm obligated to you, and you're obligated to me, and we're obligated to the church.
Right.
We're a covenant people. And the only way the church is going to grow and the only way we're going to get better is to become more involved with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to become more dedicated to the Lord. We need to become more dedicated to Him. If we don't, we'll be drawn away. Let me tell you, the Lord, the Bible said in those verses, just before that, that the Lord never tempts us with sin. The Lord don't tempt, the devil tempts you.
Yes.
The Lord tries you. The Lord tries you, but He never, but listen, when the Lord tries us, it's never to make us fall. Never. He don't try us to see if we'll fall. He tries us to make us stronger so that we'll stand. The devil tempts us that we'll fall. This is what happened to that well-educated man, smart, intelligent man. That's how he wound up in the trailer alone dead. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And gives us, as Brother Mickey was reading in the Sunday school devotion this morning, makes us a promise of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All the doctors do when you go to the doctor is they just shake their head and give you another medication and hope to kind of make you better while you die. Amen. That's all they do. I mean, they don't ever offer you life. They don't even offer to make you well. Really, if you get right down to it, the doctors don't want you to get well. They want you to stay on that medication. They don't want you to get well. They don't care if you don't even get better. But God offers eternal life. Is that not a promise? Is that not a promise? Look, I've got life eternal. All I got to do is get rid of this old afflicted body. And I've got it made. And you can have it made. Have you ever, listen, let's stop and take inventory. Have you really been saved? What's the evidence? Did you have just an emotional experience and it hadn't changed anything in your life? That's not it. When you get eternal life, when you really get saved, it'll change everything about you. They won't anything be the same. Everything is changed. You are a new creature in Christ. Is there any evidences in your life? Look at your life this morning. Is there any evidences in your life that you've really been saved? That you've really been saved? That when they sing the song, just like the song, the sweet, sweet spirit, and the little lady jumped up and run to the altar. What caused that? Because of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The Spirit of God. Does it ever hit you? Amen. Do you ever feel that Spirit? I mean, you ever feel that spirit? If you don't, you need to take inventory. Amen? You need to take inventory. This is not a guess so and a hope so thing. You got to know so, because, see, you don't never know when you just that close. That heart just stops, and that's all of it. That's all of it. And make sure while you're alive that you've been saved. While we stop this morning, we're going to stop right now. I want you to examine your life. See, it's important. It's important. More people put, sometimes, you know, people put more preparation in preparing a meal than they do getting ready for eternity. Amen. They'll put more into getting ready to come to church than they will getting ready to go to heaven. We need to make sure that we've been born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That there's something in us that's guiding us and leading us. Because when we lay down and die, we're going to have some help to get up and get out. Amen?
Amen.
And it's going to take the Lord.
Yes.
It's going to take the Lord in our lives. And if you don't know him this morning, I'm going to give you an invitation. You say, well, maybe some other time. There may not be no other time.
That's right. That's it.
There may not be no. The only person that gives you time is he that don't have no time, and it's the devil.
Yeah.
He'll say, wait.
Yeah.
The Lord says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Today, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. So while we just pause for a moment without a song, just bow your head and take inventory. And today is the day of salvation. And if I don't have evidence in my life, and maybe it's been a long time since the Holy Spirit has really spoke through your life, maybe you need to come and renew those vows to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been wrong. Lord, I've sinned and I've come short of the glory of God. Lord, I'm away from you. Lord, I don't feel you like I used to. I don't feel your presence. I don't feel your wooing. And I don't feel your drawing like I used to. Lord, I want to renew my vows. I want to confess my sin. I want to come close to you. I want you to lead in my life and guide in my life. Maybe you feel like doing that this morning. While the heads are bowed and people are praying all over the house, maybe you want to just slip out and come to the altar. How long has it been since you bowed in an altar and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I know you're the Savior and I want you to lead in my life, guide in my life? How long has it been? If you feel like doing that this morning, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's praying, you want to just slip out and come, do so right now. Just do it. Get up and come to the Lord. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Just do it right now. You'll be surprised what difference that'll make in your life. You'll just be honest with the Lord. Anybody, anywhere.